In the studio this morning, the Nationals member for the seat of Gippsland, Darren Chester, the ALP candidate, Jeff McNeil. And if you've been listening to the program over the last half hour, they're facing a panel of eight folk from across the region representing various interests, either personal or professional. We've already heard from Oliver Raymond from the Nationals Seniors, having a look at self-funded retirees and asking some questions in related to that. Also, education. And we've got quite a few more questions to get through over the next 20 minutes or so. So we will push it along a bit, and we're going to turn our attention to health. And we have Kelly O'Callaghan, the chair of La Trobe Regional Hospital Board.
Thank you for the opportunity, Celine. I've been somewhat disappointed in the lack of commentary about health-related issues during the campaign, and Gippsland continues to experience increasing demand for health services. We know that our communities have poorer health outcomes than many other regions. The federal government now takes a greater role in health funding governance, but with the end of the Health and Hospitals Fund, the federal government has not made an ongoing commitment to the essential infrastructure funding for health services in Gippsland. The federal government cannot continue to demand more from already stretched health services and staff without providing a significant and ongoing commitment to infrastructure development and resources for sustainable health services in Gippsland. Will you commit to working with health services to secure better health outcomes for the region by allocating federal funding for the $65 million redevelopment of LRH in the next 2 years, and subsequently deliver a substantial and ongoing fund for infrastructure development for health services in our region?
Darren Chester, the Nationals member for Gippsland at the moment, you'll be well aware of La Trobe Regional Hospital's quest to get $65 million. With a budget that is quite stretched, how will you do that?
Well, can I first of all thank Kelly for the work she already does on behalf of La Trobe Regional Hospital with the board. And Kelly and I have met on many occasions with the Chief Exec and with our State Member Russell North in relation to this issue. And I must say, I was bitterly disappointed when we missed out on Health and Hospitals funding under the final round. We met the criteria, we made it to the last stage, but under that final round we weren't successful. I've asked the current Health Minister, Tanya Plibersek, to meet with the delegation of La Trobe Regional Hospital. I asked her that in March. I've written to her again on two occasions since then, and she's refused to answer my correspondence, refused to even acknowledge she received the letters, which is a pity because the previous Minister, Roxon, was good at working with us on this issue, and she helped us put together what I thought was quite a compelling bid. So the challenge is for any future government, whether it's Labor or Coalition, to find the $65 million. I think it's going to have to be a partnership with the state government, and I recognise that. Having said all of that, we need to remember that we still have across Gippsland an outstanding health service, and we have thousands of people every day of the week going out there at Bensdale, Sale, Latrobe Valley, working very hard to provide great services, and they need the support of both state and federal governments to continue to do that. One of our bigger challenges, I think, beyond the infrastructure, is making sure we have a skilled workforce available to us here in Gippsland. The previous coalition government was successful in setting up the Monash School, and it's worked well, along with the Bensdale Clinical School. And the reason I say it's worked well, it's given people who are interested in health professions some experience in a rural and regional environment, with the hope that one day they'll come back and practice in our community. So okay. The Rural Doctors Association of Australia continually tells us to keep working in that area as well, make sure we have a skilled workforce available to us. But in summary to Kelly's question, there is no funding guarantee from either side. It's going to be a difficult task.
Okay. Jeff McNeil, can a Labor government secure $65 million for La Trobe Regional Hospital within 2 years?
The Labor government provided the funds and for the first stage, the development of the La Trobe Hospital. I understand that Darren Chester has declared that he can't access funds under under a Abbott government for the second stage. Where from here? I would ask Darren to confirm that, and I believe it is true.
Is that true?
The candidate just made up another story. I've never heard of that claim before. The fact is, right now, neither side of the chamber has a health and hospitals fund. The current fund has expired and there is no fund available for LRH to apply to right now, so I'm not sure what the candidate's referring to.
All right. Well,
have you not said to the board that you can't access the funds under an Abbott government?
Not at all, and I'm not sure what the candidate's referring to. If he's referring to conversations I've had in private with the board, they are conversations which will be kept private. I respect confidentialities of those types of meetings.
Okay, just quickly, the board of the chair of the board is here. Has there been a discussion about this, Kelly?
On no occasion have we been advised that we will not have access to federal funding for the $65 million project. Mr. Chester has made attempts to contact Minister Plibersek. He's also met with our board. I can confirm that Mr. McNeill has not made an attempt to contact me or our board at this point in time.
Okay. Let's move on to the next issue. And Ian Fraser, who is a member of the GetUp group.
I've got more to say on that.
Well, we are short of time. Yes. Fraser, can you please move forward? Jeff McNeill, you've had your opportunity.
Thanks, Celine. Good morning. Darren said at his opening, we're looking to decide which party we can trust. And the dilemma I face is that I don't feel I can trust either party. It's not an issue of Darren or Jeff's trustworthiness. It's a fact that in recent years, politicians have been promising so much, and as once they get in power, they'll find some rationale to change their mind and do what suits them best. And political expediency seems to drive things much rather than trustworthiness.
Okay, so your question?
Perhaps one question would be, what would Darren or Jeff do to try and restore a sense of trust in the politicians?
Okay, Jeff McNeill from the ALP, how would you restore trust or in the ALP?
This is a very important question. I think it's a much broader thing than stating that it's to do with the ALP. Career politicians is something that I've heard in the community that they object to on both sides. And what they actually mean when I ask them what a career politician is someone that's done law, ends up an advisor for a member of parliament, sits and waits until there's a comfortable seat, becomes available, slips in, hasn't worked hard to obtain that seat, and hence they don't know how to work hard to maintain it. And I suspect our local member fits that category.
Can you just answer the question, Jeff McNeill? How would you restore faith in politics in the ALP, considering what people in the electorate have witnessed over the past 12 months or so?
By having less career politicians and more people with human experience, worldly experience, personal experience. I certainly have that.
Darren Chester.
Well, I'll ignore the candidate's remarks because they are childish and juvenile, exactly the reason why people are switching off politics. People in the community want to believe that their members will go to Canberra and represent them to the best of their possible ability. And I've endeavoured to do that. But I do accept, and I made those comments very publicly a few months ago about the way Julia Gillard was being treated by people in the community. I told people to lay off the personal attacks. That wasn't warmly received by some people in the Liberal Party, but it's something that I think as a matter of principle needed to be said.
What happened to the new paradigm? Remember that?
Exactly. I think we can have a very robust debate on policies and we can hold each other to account when promises are broken, but there's no need for the personal innuendo or slander and the bitter infighting which occurs. It'll be a while before we get back to the stage where people actually trust members of Parliament. I accept that. But I would love to see the day again very soon where they respect the process of our democracy, because our democracy is something which has been extraordinarily hard fought for. More than 100,000 people have lost their lives defending this great democracy, and I don't think it's something we can be flippant about. I do take Ian's comments in the intention with which they were meant, that across the board, members of Parliament need to lift the standards. We need to lift the standards, treat each other with respect. By all means, disagree, but don't get caught into this mudslinging and the personal attacks, which I think have really typified the last 3 to 5 years, and it's not meant to be a reference on the current government by any stretch. There's been mud thrown by both sides, but we do need to clean up our act.
Okay. Terry Fitzgerald is the Gippsland Area Manager for the Victorian Employers Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Your question.
Gentlemen, since April, 100,000 businesses have joined the Small Business Too Big to Ignore campaign. That campaign comprises four pillars. One of those pillars is reduction in red tape. What would you do if elected to achieve that?
The reduction in red tape. Okay. Jeff McNeil from the ALP.
Yes.
How do you cut red tape?
Look, we've had businesses for the last 30 years. In fact, we run two businesses at the moment, a physiotherapy practice and a farm. The greatest red tape that I find is attached to doing your BAS statements each year or each quarter, and the introduction of the BAS statements are a huge impost on industry. A huge, huge problem each quarter. And if you delay it to an annual report, it's still a problem.
What's the alternative?
No idea.
Okay.
Absolutely no idea. But the introduction of GST was a major administration burden put on industries.
Mm-hmm. And what can be done to improve that? I mean, as somebody who has a business, what would make it easier for you?
Well, certainly less red tape. We face it day to day, but yes, it is a problem. It's an enduring problem. Change, we fear as an industry, governments making changes, and changes are something you've got to relearn, appraise, reallocate time. Yes, it's a huge problem. I understand that. Yes.
Darren Chester for the Nationals. How do you cut red tape?
Well, fundamentally, you need to change the culture of the bureaucracy and give them an understanding of how small business actually works. And right now, we have our whole bureaucracy set up about finding reasons and excuses why you can't do things rather than taking the small business approach, which is help us find a way to actually do things. I think it's worked well with Regional Development Victoria. They've been working with the local business community to try and find ways to expand our markets here in Gippsland. I think the government has to be more active in securing export opportunities for small businesses. You'll be amazed how many businesses in Gippsland have their markets overseas. And I think, in essence, you need to actually have people, and I take up the Labor candidate's points in relation to the pool of talent in the House of Representatives. There's not a single member of the Labor cabinet that's actually ever run their own business, and that's a problem. We need to actually have people, ministers, making those decisions with some real on-the-ground experience.
Would you have a red tape commissioner at a federal level?
Absolutely. Our commitment is to cut $1 billion worth of red and green tape and also have a small business ombudsman to make sure that the small business people have a place to go to appeal unfair practices. And more importantly, we've actually undertaken to a root and branch review of the competition framework. And when I say that, that's referring to the way Coles and Woolworths currently dominate the market to the extent that a lot of the small businesses are being squeezed out. So we're going to go back and look at the competition framework and try to find ways where mum and dad small businesses can still prosper in this great nation and not be squeezed out of business by those corporate giants.
You are listening to a Q&A session with Darren Chester, the Nationals member for Gippsland, and also Jeff McNeil, who is running as the ALP's candidate. We've heard questions related to health and education. We've heard from the mum of an 8-year-old with a disability. We're going to hear now from David Elliott, who is from Bairnsdale.
Thanks, Celine. I want to speak to everybody about equity. President Barack Obama recently said on the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech that he sees the same spirit when another couple, quote unquote, connect the pain of a gay couple who are discriminated against and understand it as their own. Can you tell me why you think it is fair and just that I am denied marriage rights and that my family, friends and partner of 12 years and I have to pay to go to New Zealand to see us get married without Australian recognition? Darren, mate, I don't want to marry you. And you never had to ask the Australian Parliament when you got married. This is all about equity. I want members who fight for equity. In the book To Kill a Mockingbird, Scout said, I think there's just one kind of folks. And yet country folks in Gippsland are left behind city folks when there are prolonged outages of the train service, limited local university and TAFE education options, and a lack of urgency to the national broadband network. How will each candidate ensure that Gippslanders and Melburnians have equal opportunities in life?
Darren Chester, the Nationals member for Gippsland. David Elliott does not want to marry you, but he wants the same opportunity that you had to marry. This is, of course, one of the key election issues. How do you address that?
Well, first of all, Celine, can I say it's not an issue that when I talk to people in Gippsland is front of mind. I acknowledge for a percentage of the community it is their number one issue. I acknowledge that. And I also acknowledge that on both sides of the debate there are very strongly held views. I find as a member of parliament in this particular issue you are in actually an impossible position. I believe that this should be a matter for a conscience vote, and I've argued that in the parliament. And as a matter of principle, I took a view before the 2010 election, which I then voted on accordingly, where I said I would vote against same-sex marriage. I've indicated to people since then that I would undertake some survey work in the community to find out what the view was of the people of Gippsland. In that last survey, it came back out of 3,000 people who responded that 66% were opposed to same-sex marriage, and I think it was 27% in favour and the rest undecided. And I hasten to add, because it's an important issue, that's not a scientific poll, it's a survey where people select whether they fill it in or not. But what it does indicate is that in some parts of Australia, there is a very different view to other parts. I look at Malcolm Turnbull's seat at Wentworth, and I think the overwhelming majority of people in his seat would actually support same-sex marriage. And I think that member, in this case Malcolm Turnbull, should have the opportunity to vote that way. In Gippsland, I still think the majority is opposed to same-sex marriage. But I also hasten to add that when I talk to young school students and we raise this issue, they are overwhelmingly in favour. So there is a mood for change which is coming through the younger generation. And I think our nation's on a journey, and I'm not sure that we're all going to get there at the same time, but there is a need for members of parliament to be able to reflect their local community's views.
Will there be a conscious vote?
I think so. Undoubtedly, I think it will be. I exercised my conscience when I voted last time anyway. I think it should be a conscience vote. I actually wonder whether, and I've had this discussion with people in the community, whether this issue is best resolved actually at a referendum, because both sides of this debate have different views, and they put forward a case and they put forward opinion polls with very differing results. And then I go out and think, well, I'll seek counsel from my community, I'll seek counsel from the churches in my community. And you can meet with the Catholic bishop and the Anglican bishop and get completely different views. One's in favour, one's opposed. Mm. I think members of parliament are actually in an impossible position, and maybe it is a better question to go to a referendum and ask the people of Gippsland, ask the people right throughout Australia, what do they want to do in relation to this issue.
And Geoff McNeil, what would you do?
I hope I get equal time. It's not an issue. It's not a constitutional issue. So it should not go to a referendum. I don't believe that's a way that you make your decision. You've got to govern from not sitting on the fence.
Well, Gainas, what would you do? We are short on time. Time is running against us, so I really need you to answer the question.
I am. Please don't interrupt. It's a major issue.
It's actually my program. I do have an opportunity to interrupt and keep it going along. So
I want to address this very important issue.
And make your point
that
quick.
We should govern for minorities as well as the majorities. We shouldn't segregate them and make them feel that they're not equal to the masses. I would vote a yes for gay marriage. Why? I met a young lady in the street the other day who was straight. She said, let me explain it this way and I'll explain it to you. It's like lining up at a chain, at a hamburger chain. There's a person in front of you, a person behind you ordering a hamburger. Does it matter to her what the people in front or behind order? No. She is eating her own hamburger.
Okay, Geoff McNeil,
life.
We've got one more question and I've got 2 minutes to try and get it through. So to be fair, we do understand you have made your point there and it is an issue that you would support. So thank you for making your point. Julie Breyer is from the Hayfield Resource Centre. Final question, Julie.
Thank you for the opportunity. What would it take in terms of action from concerned Australians for you to respond and implement policy by banning the alarming spread of CSG exploration and mining nationally? The rapid spread of Lock the Gate movement against the spread of CSG is proving action is demanded by the community. How are you going to respond to the public concerns?
Okay.
Thank you.
We have about 3.5 minutes to go before the end of the program. Geoff McNeil, how would you respond to coal seam gas and the concern in the community about the exploration of this?
The concern in the community is that there's no base level of studies done on the environment and the water tables that can be measured and how it impacts. So that needs to happen before progress in coal seam gas. I actually believe that our water table is one of the most important things to protect in this area, the food bowl area. We need not to be hasty in saying yes, and that I would talk, and I understand that the sitting member is refusing to talk with the farmers regarding the coal seam gas here in Gippsland. I would certainly talk, because I believe you need to understand your community and the farmers' information, concern is extremely important and an obligation for a sitting member to undergo. Thank you.
Thank you. Geoff McNeil, Darren Chester for the Nationals.
Well, to the claim by the Labor candidate, I've refused to meet with anyone. It's another ridiculous proposition. I've met with people from Lock the Gate. I've met with farming groups. I had a forum only a matter of weeks ago where farmers in the community met and raised this issue. And I've got another forum tonight in Flynn where I'll be talking about these issues and others affecting the agricultural sector. So it's another ridiculous claim. But in relation to the point that Julie made regarding coal seam gas, I think it's the science and the evidence that has to be taken into consideration and let that decide in conjunction with discussing with the community whether we actually have the social licence for it to proceed as well. There is no CSG production in Victoria at the moment, and there's still no commercial reserves. The state government, which has responsibility for those licensing matters, has put a moratorium in place, and I think that was a smart move. Politically, it was important to do it, but also it bought some time for the government to actually go into and consider all those other complex issues. At a federal level, the Nationals put down some principles 2 years ago on this issue, and I'll summarise them by saying we basically claim that there will be no CSG production where there's going to be aquifers or water quality affected. We believe that landholders who are going to have this CSG production on their property should be properly reimbursed. There should be no CSG activity on prime agricultural land. And we also say there should be real investment made back into the communities where the wealth was created from in the first place. And we argued that there should be no development close to residential areas. So we've put those pointers down and we demand that they be met before any production goes ahead. And the current federal government, to its credit, has come up with a scientific advisory panel with $150 million to assist local communities in making sure that hydrological work, geological work and all those other important bits of evidence are gathered before any production can occur.
Okay. Darren Chester for the Nationals and Geoff McNeil for the ALP. I appreciate you both giving up so much of your time to talk to the Gippsland electorate about some of the issues that face them. Also, thank you very much to our panel who have also taken a big chunk out of their day to come in here and ask a question to both of you.